Hey, g'day guys, welcome back to Beyond the Veil. You're on Galari Radio 99.7 FM with Jim. How are you today, guys? We are going to be doing our second part interview with a Mr. Brian Henderson Award. I'm sure you're going to absolutely love it. So we're going to jump straight in. We're going to pop on one of Brian's newest songs, actually. This has just been uploaded today, so I hope you enjoy. This is Wheels of the Beast by Brian Henderson Ward.
Like the devil preparing a meal. Of the cold winter's night, Joe gave both legs to the iron and the steel. Treachery of shunting, linking the mob in the rain. A railway man's friend who was pinned there between wagon and train. Cursed from that day, they would say, it's too hard to find. Curses to be forever entangled between the wheels of the beast. We were spinning in his chair. In a generation's time, I pray you'll be stronger and prepared to be children in the deluge running scared. Grandfather worked on the railways, was it all that he knew? He had stories of a tunnel through hell, and I know they're true. I know they're true.
Wheels of the Beast by Brian Henderson Ward. Absolutely fantastic song. First time I've ever heard it. First time on the radio ever. Released today and only released for this show on Beyond the Veil. Now, as you remember, last week we were speaking with Brian, but we ran so out of time. We actually ran over the time, but ran out of time as well. So we have Brian back today. And if you remember, Brian was once the president of the Australian Songwriters Association, has travelled the world and Australia promoting original music, not only his own prowess, but everybody else's as well, a tireless musician and worker for musicians. And how are you today, Brian?
James, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you again for the second week running. I can't believe my luck. It feels so good to be here with you. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. Now, that song, Brian, that was that's fantastic. I mean, that's got your signature time changes and just a fantastic message throughout the song. Do you want to give us a bit of a rundown about, you know, what the song means to you, what it's about, how it came by?
Okay. I actually wrote it several years ago. I'll go into the story of that in a moment.
Sure.
But before I do that, I'll have to say that it's possibly the most difficult song I've ever recorded because of those time changes.
Yes.
It's so difficult because you can't just lay down a click track and then play to it. You have to build the song. Oh, my God. It took a lot of headspace to make that work.
I can imagine.
I got there, and that's not the actual final mix for it. I provided you guys with the mix that I had at the end of today, and there's more stuff to happen to it. But I'm so glad of the opportunity to have it aired through your show, James. Thank you very much for doing that. So that's literally hot off the press today.
Literally hot off the press, and we're honoured to have it. It's fantastic. It's a very first for me to be able to show somebody's talent and beauty, first of all, for everybody's ears. It's good. It's really cool. It's actually really cool. So,
well, the story of the song, this is going to sound pretty freaky, but
okay.
A couple of nights before my grandfather died, I wrote that song. Now, my grandfather was in England, and I hadn't seen him for probably 25 years.
Right.
And suddenly I was struck to write a song for him, and then he passed away. And I know, I don't want to get, politically incorrect here or I know in Aboriginal culture that people are visited by their relatives as they pass, even though there's distance between them.
Sure.
And I really had a sense of that. I had a sense that my grandfather had reached across the world to me and had prompted me into writing that song.
Awesome.
And within a couple of days, I was mourning his passing. So it felt to me like a real special connection.
Yeah.
And I think I know that songwriters would agree with me here, passionate songwriters, that there's something magical about the zone. When you're in the zone,
yeah,
it's like the universe opens up to you, and you can connect with that. And I certainly feel like my grandfather connected with me to write that song.
That's really cool. That's really cool. So, and I mean, there is that whole, I suppose a lot of people believe in sort of astro physics, you know, so, you know, you're talking about reaching out further. And I truly believe once someone is getting to that point in their life, a whole lot more stuff opens up that they might not even be aware of. And having that feeling, you know, I know myself when my mother passed, the morning she passed, I woke up thinking this is the day, you know, and it had no reason to think that because we'd been told it was miles away, you know. So I think you've really touched onto something, and to tap into that and allow that to come through you to write music, and not only just music but an amazing song. I mean, is this something that you've practiced doing, or is it just something that you managed to feel it was happening? I mean, what made you get up and from whatever you were doing and write that song at that particular time? You know, was there something there that made you do that, or did it happen autonomously, you know?
Well, it's strange you ask that, James. I was in Kakadu when I wrote that song. I was the resident musician at the Yellow Waters Resort.
Right.
And I was living, sleeping in a donga, and I just suddenly was struck with thoughts of my grandfather, and I remembered being a small child and him telling me these stories, which I tried to put a little bit of that into the song. There's some pretty full-on stuff in there, but
yeah.
Look, before I go on here, I'm not some sort of astro traveling person that, you know, I'm very scientifically based.
Yep.
Pretty much I'm an atheist.
Yep.
I need scientific proof for stuff, but at the same time, I can find myself in this zone,
yep,
where I find myself almost convinced that there's a spiritual nature to life, where my grandfather could reach across the planet and prompt me to think of him and to pay tribute to him,
yes,
and for him to say goodbye to me at the moment of his passing. So, how does that work? I'm not sure.
No.
At the same time, like it's a real experience.
Well, I think we touched on that last week with the whole thing of, you know, we're only using 10% of our brains, so goodness knows what we're capable of. You know, it's
really the amazing thing, James, is that that was my grandfather on my father's side,
mm-hmm,
and the exact same thing happened with the grandfather on my mother's side.
There you go. Yeah,
I wrote a song literally a day or two before he passed as well, and he was in Scotland. So, oh my God, it's like, this is not coincidence anymore.
No.
I have to give this some sort of credence. And that's even me with my demand for scientific evidence. This is my own evidence in my own life.
Yeah. Yeah, and being able to do that and have the time and the headspace to do that is paramount, you know. I had my mother and father pass within 4 months of each other, and neither one of them I've written for yet, because up until a certain while ago, it just would have been an angry song. So, and it wasn't there, and it's starting to knock on the door now. So it's, you know, being aware of being ready to do that is a big thing as well, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Songwriting can take us into another zone where we can see through other people's eyes.
Yes.
That's, you know, when you, the young songwriter writes out all their heartache. I think we touched on this last time as well. They write their own story, and that's their, and they learn the songs of their heroes. That's their apprenticeship. Once you step into other people's shoes and start writing songs through their eyes, that's when there's really that's your degree.
Yes.
That's where you really step outside of yourself and become an empathetic human being, because you can see through other people's eyes.
That's
and
right.
And write their story into a song.
And it's funny, you said to me, I don't think it was on the air, but you said to me a little while ago that, you know, when you're first writing music, when you first start to write music, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you're writing about events that have happened to you. You might be, it might be an angry writing or a sad writing or something along those lines. It's very, very self-centered in a lot of ways. And you sort of said to me, look, this is your apprenticeship of songwriting, and as you move forward, and I think what you just said then, you know, you've got your trade when, you know, you can write, and like you said, see through someone else's eyes and really write exactly what they're feeling, what they're thinking, with empathy, you know. And I think that's the big thing is with anything that's going to sound authentic, it needs to have empathy in there. Everybody else needs to know that you're aware what this is.
Yes,
I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in a roundabout way.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's so much truth in old sayings. Walk a mile in another man's shoes.
Yes.
You know, so all of these really old sayings, they come from somewhere, and they come from experience, and they come from years and years of experience. So we have to remember that, here's a real quick shortcut into writing a song.
Okay.
These sayings or metaphors or, you know, don't throw stones if you live in a glass house,
yes,
for example.
Yep.
What does the Bible call them? There's the word for it.
Ten Commandments, is it? No?
No. It's when you... A parable. There's another word. Anyway, I can't think of it off the top of my head. But so these sayings, the grass is always greener on the other side, for example.
Yep.
These are titles and ideas for songs because they've been well proven and lived through, and they've been passed down. They're so successfully true that they've been passed down through generations. So there's a fundamental truth in all of these, not the right word, parables, metaphors, still again, not the right word.
Yep.
Sayings. So a common saying can be a brilliant song. So if you want to shortcut yourself into writing a really good song, think of something like that, like a well-known saying.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to say, worst things happen at sea. And I've thought, that is a great title of a song. I'm not sure exactly what song it is.
Sure.
I'm not sure what she really meant by it. But if you can take the wisdom of people before you,
yes,
then and write that into a song, even just explaining what you're actually saying in poetic form and musical form, turns into a great song.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. So, and I suppose you're tapping into something we have all heard. I mean, that makes perfect sense. You're not directing somebody's listening or mind to a new idea. You know, they're aware of it, and we've all felt it and all been there. Every one of those sayings you just said, I can guarantee every single person has at some stage in their life used it or felt it. You know, the grass is greener. Don't throw rocks in a glass house, you know. Walk a mile in a man's shoes. These are all things that people have heard, and it makes a lot
That's
of
right.
sense. Yeah.
There's one saying that is I've long wanted to write the song. I haven't done it yet.
Yep.
Maybe someone out there in your audience will write it.
Okay.
It's this lovely, beautiful saying that just it smacks of needing a song. It's still waters run deep.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
that's a country song waiting to happen if I ever heard it.
Isn't it? It sounds like it already is, doesn't it?
maybe it is. I haven't even bothered looking on the internet for it, but it's such a great saying, and you know what it means and what's underlying that. You know, the quiet guy in the room is probably the most thoughtful, possible intellectual or sensitive person.
Yes,
there. You know, it's still waters.
Yeah.
I love
It is, and it is. It's got a lovely little ring to it. I'll have a play for you and see what I can come up with.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm just gonna pop on the second track you've recommended. Now, this one, I believe, you just popped up yesterday.
Yes. Now, this one is it's called "Rest Me in Your Arms."
Yes.
And basically, I reached back in time to a time when I was heartbroken, and I wrote the song that I needed to write then.
Okay.
And I put it together. So basically, this is part of my idea tonight to talk about time travel through music. I believe we can do it.
Okay, let's have a listen. Everyone, this is "Rest Me in Your Arms" by Brian Henderson Wood. I hope you enjoy it.
Echoes of the lies that I've been told. In a lightning flash, I see the things that I have loved but couldn't hold. I'm empty and I'm aching, and babe, I don't know why. I'm sad that you leaving, but more than that, I'm tired. I'm weary from these years. Lay me down, rest me in your arms. Stormy beach, my cries were muffled by the crashing of the waves. When the thunder sounds, I swear I thought I heard you calling out my name. Seems all that I've come looking for has vanished in dust. I know I'll say goodbye to you. Say goodbye, I must.
"Rest Me in Your Arms" by Brian Henderson Wood. What a fantastic song. That's absolutely beautiful.
Well, it's a song of heartbreak. And when I wrote it, I played it to a couple of my friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tend to close my eyes and when I'm playing that song and just try to get right into it.
Yeah.
And then when I open my eyes, to my amazement, they were crying. So in some ways, that's a really fabulous response, because I know that I wept when I wrote it. So therefore, some of the feeling of what I was feeling when I wrote it actually transferred across to my small audience. And I think that's any kind of reaction that a songwriter gets from a song,
yep,
is valuable. And it can be a negative thing as well. Like if the song affects someone in a negative way, that's worth hearing as well. So
yeah, definitely.
So to have that response, I was thrilled. Not that I like to make people cry.
No, of course, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like you said, you've got that reaction, and truly, I mean, you can hear it in the song that, like you said, your feelings, your empathy is there. It's there for everybody to hear, and you know, it's like almost like what we're talking about before with sayings and writing a song about a saying. This is something that everybody has gone through. You know, it's something everybody's felt. And you know, you've put it into words for other people to use for themselves, you know, and that's beautiful. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's that's the job of the songwriter in some ways. I mean, I don't see songwriting as a job.
No, but, definitely not. No,
I know that I've done a good job when I can evoke an emotional response.
Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah, 100%. And you know, you sort of touched on before about being able to time travel with writing songs. And you know, this was written about a way you felt previously. I'm not sure how long beforehand, but and I guess that's sort of where you're going to. Are we on the right track there?
Yeah, absolutely. So a while ago, I had this idea that if I could travel back, because I had a troubled youth and my parents divorced them, and I was a very upset young fellow.
Yep.
And if I could travel back, and because I know how emotional I was at that time, if I could travel back in time and sit with my younger self and comfort that young boy,
yeah,
what would I say? How would I, you know, what could I say?
Yeah,
and in some ways, well, I do have that opportunity to do that now in song and poetry.
Yeah,
and that brings me also to the idea that if I go through heartache and grief and trouble and hard times now, my future self is just as capable of traveling back to me now.
Yes,
and so if I'm in a difficult time in my life, I refer to my future self.
Yes.
Because I know that I will only get good advice. I know that I will only be comforted by myself from the future.
Yes.
So therefore, I see my life as being an open highway back and forth that I can ride because it's my life and I'm allowed to do that.
100% right. And I think another good example of that is another one of your songs, Jimmy Hauling Man. Obviously written about you at a very young age, travelling and playing music. And I love the song personally.
Jimmy Hauling Man, yes. You know, I left school when I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
My parents were divorced. The whole situation was a mess. And I knew three chords on my guitar. And I'd been busking a couple of times in Fremantle.
Yep.
And I felt that, yeah, this is a way forward for me. And one day I just grabbed my guitar, a small bag of clothes, and I hit the road and I started hitchhiking across and around Australia. Jimmy Hauling Man is based on that. It's me traveling across Australia hitchhiking.
Yeah.
And really, Jimmy, the man in the song that I'm singing about, really represents every truck driver who ever gave me a lift back. This was back in the day when they would give you a lift.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, so illegal.
Or dangerous.
But, yeah, well, that's right. So now, really, it's a memory, and it's a one. It was. I had wonderful adventures. I was so young, and some bad things happened. But overall, I've got to say that I look back on that time with great fond memories.
And truly, that's I've done similar, and I've got to say it's one of the best times of your. I've never felt so free. You know,
yeah.
No restraints. I didn't even know what town I was going to next. And, you know, it was just so, I mean, like you said, scary at times, but fantastic, you know. And look, the example of going back and writing a song, you know, that was an experience in your life from many years ago. So I think the concept for everybody out there to listen to and take in is don't get stuck in the moment. You know, you can write about anything. You can write about what you have done. You can write about what you would like to do. You're not stuck here and now. And maybe if you're not feeling in the zone because your life isn't going that great right now, maybe you can take yourself back a decade and get yourself into the zone writing about something that you loved back then and how you felt back then, you know?
Exactly. Go back to happy times or step outside of yourself and write a song for someone else. There's so many options, north, south, east, and west, and everywhere in between. So Jimmy Hauling Man is about my younger years hitchhiking around Australia. Too many adventures even I can't remember them all.
Yeah.
That would fill several volumes of books. oh, my God.
Yeah, we'd have some of them might be R-rated as well, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah.
James, I'm relieved to know that you've had some similar experiences, so, yeah. Okay, well...
I think we should pop it on.
Jimmy Hauling, man.
Let's do it. All right, Jimmy Hauling, guys, and Brian Henderson Ward. Kick back, relax.
Thumbing it out of Perth, backpack and old guitar. A fella named Jimmy in a red road train showed me Nullarbor to Port Augusta, saying this is the right turn left, son. Jimmy done this desert trip before, knows every buckshot highway sign. Said his wife had left him for some company while he was hauling it one more time. I'm hauling it one more time. I know this place so well, the sunsets and the dusty air. Salt Lake stretch for miles. So far from her today. Breathe that desert air. I'll tell you a story if you sing this song. Share you my bottle if you smoke me some. I once loved a woman in between these dusty miles. We held each other and tore each other down, and now there's nowhere left to hide. I'm hauling it one more time. So well, where the cliffs nearly bite the tar, treeless plains, Yalata. Heard it here so far. Look at them desert stars, son. Tell you a story if you sing me a song. ever wrote my blind in my face is a story of her son. In reflections of myself I see this road to who I've become. This road is who I am. I don't care where it goes. I'm just holding it fast as I can. Jim, I'm singing your song. After all, I owe you one.
Jimmy, Hauling Man by Brian Henderson Ward. Very cool song. Very cool song. And really, the way you've written that song, it just gives you a very clear picture of exactly what you were seeing and where you were. It's really, really nicely written.
Well, you know, one of my favourite lines in that song would be, null aboard a Port Augusta, he said, this is where I turn left, son.
Yes.
You know.
Very cool.
So he's obviously heading to the Alice or Darwin, but
yeah,
I was heading to Melbourne at the time, so that's where I had to get out. And, I love how in Australia, because we've got so few sort of national highways, you can identify just simply by that line exactly where I was.
100%. And then, you go on to talk about the salt plains and the dusty haze and, just the beauty of the desert, beauty. Yeah.
I've driven that Nullarbor probably 15, 18 times.
Yep.
And I love it every time, just because I leave with my mind cluttered with life, and I arrive in Perth just totally. My mind is put freed by the desert somehow. That drive across there is freeing, really relaxing on the mind, and just resets you somehow. I recommend a desert trip to anyone who's a bit uptight or not dealing with life very well. Just get out there and free your mind.
Definitely. Yeah, my word. And look, you took the words out of my mouth. I absolutely feel at home in the outback. There's nothing quite like just pulling over, getting out of your car and just looking. Take it all in, because there's so much. And another one of the lines from your song, the buckshot highway signs. And straight away I went, hang on, you crossed that Nullarbor at that time. That Nullarbor was probably not even bitumen by then.
It was a pretty rough ride back in the early days. And
would have been, yeah.
Yeah, I crossed it once before it was paved.
Yep.
And then I was so relieved the next time I went across, no worries.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been fun on the gravel.
Yeah, a lot of the signs are still buckshot out there, by the way.
Yeah, I could imagine. Well, the last time I went across, we stopped at what I thought was a nice motel from the previous time I'd come across, and there was an old woman at the front in a rocking chair, and there was some spindles rolling along the ground, and you could almost hear the banjos playing. And at that point, we decided to keep going to Balladonia. So,
Oh yeah.
So look, I've got to, and I have, just so everybody does know, I've given Brian a little bit of a heads up with this question, because I think it's a very loaded question, and subjective question as well. So, Brian, given your experience with the Australian Songwriters Association, given your you've heard multiple songs, you've reviewed,
thousands,
possibly even more, and you've heard different styles, different techniques. You yourself with your music, you are so broad with your arrangements and your genres and your style. So I feel like you're the person to ask this question, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening who would want to have some kind of definitive answer, but I'm not sure. But Brian, in your opinion, what is the formula to writing a number one song, a selling number one song?
Okay, so there's a couple of ways to approach this.
Right.
Number one, the number one mistake that a lot of young songwriters make, and some old ones as well.
Yep.
Continuity. If you start writing a song about a subject, make sure that you write that song to its conclusion. Do not change horses midstream.
Sure.
Don't wander off on some tangent in your songwriting. Stay with it.
Yep.
And also, another clue is to make your songs mathematically add up as much as possible. So the number of bars, if you're someone who throws out or forgets a bar or just, you know, these things don't add up musically, so they don't sound correct.
Yeah, sure.
To the seasoned listener. So make sure that you have a basic mathematical correctness about your songs. I think that's really important.
Sure.
And now,
so for example, if someone was to write a song in 4/4 time, you would want them to have, 12 bars, 24 bars, 36 bars. You wouldn't want them to stop on 35 bars. Is that sort of what you're
saying? Exactly, yes.
Sure.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting at. So make sure that you have a basic understanding of the musical construction of your song. That's mm-hmm. really important.
Sure.
I think another thing that I see from listening to thousands of songs through the National Song Contest is how many songwriters neglect to write a bridge section or to have a pre-chorus or a change of some sort.
Sure.
That will create interest in the song itself, like take it on a little journey musically in a different direction.
Yep.
Every now and again. I mean, look, it depends. The first song of mine that you played tonight didn't have a bridge section, but what it did have was time changes.
100%.
What I think is songwriters have this bag of tricks that they can use, and that includes time changes.
Mm-hmm.
It includes modulation, so changing key.
Yes.
Just having all of these little things that you can do.
Well, light and dark.
Obviously,
yep.
Having a fantastic hook line can sometimes just be enough.
Sure.
So, having said all of that, if you hear a song three times, it becomes a classic in your brain.
Right.
If it's a reasonably well-written song.
Sure.
So if you hear a song three times, it's a classic. Therefore, anyone who's heard your reasonably well-written song three times, it's already a number one for that person.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. How do you write a number one? You already have.
Well, there you go. There you go. So answer solved, guys. We let's break it down. So we want to keep stick to your story. Stick to your story. Make sure your song adds up. If the right number of bars, right number of everything, verses, choruses. Give yourself a little bit of light and dark with some bridges. To say that, you can create a bridge in the song and still have the same four chords that you've been using the entire song. And you can change that. You can sing a different melody over those chords. So, to write a fantastic song, you don't have to be a world-class musician who has knowledge of all, you know, 40,000 chords or whatever there are. Yeah, and I love that too. I love that, you know, you can be simple and still, you know, really hit somebody hard. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the other thing, one thing I forgot to mention there was melody. Play with the melody, experiment with the melody, and don't just settle for the same old. Don't settle for easy melodies either.
Yeah.
Like, doing something out of the ordinary is, you know, always fun. And if I could direct you to one of my songs, actually, if you're going to play another one.
Yeah.
That really, this one focuses on making a melody as, well, kind of a strange melody because the intonation of it is really a strange intonation. It's called the Fonzie Song.
Yep, cool.
And why did I write this song? I'm not even sure myself to a degree. The words came to me. I'd like to say that it is a critique of the downfall of the American dream. And I think
fantastic.
It is about that, really. But what's really interesting about the song, the most interesting part of this song for me, is the melody, which is so unusual for its intonation.
Fantastic. All right. Well, you got my curiosity up. Let's pop it on, and we'll be right back with Brian to finish off the show. Here's the Fonzie Song. I love the name, by the way.
Told
me Patsy was selling ice. These are the days of our lives. Bold and beautiful, bold and beautiful lives.
Oh, the Fonzie song. How cool is that? That's got a swing and a sway. I was moving my arms and in the chair. I probably looked like a spastic elephant from out there, but I absolutely love that song. It was amazing, mate. It was really cool. You know, this is the days of our lives. And, I mean, really cool. Not for one second did I think about, have I ever thought about using lyrics, you know, about TV shows. But you've made it work. That's absolutely, I love it.
Yeah. Well, there's some unusual lyrics in there too that even I don't understand. One of the lines is, they say that curiosity is out killing cats. Well, we better look into that.
Yeah. and you know what? It sounds like you had a really fun time writing that.
Yeah, and actually it's a live recording, so very, very proud of that one.
Even better. Because that's tight. Yeah, that's really tight, man.
And it does, especially with the modern politics the way they are, especially in America, that song seems to have come into its own now. Again, time travel. I wrote that song before I ever became interested in politics. And for me, that song speaks volumes.
Yes.
Now, didn't then.
Sure. And isn't that funny how that works? It's you time traveled without even knowing that you'd done it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I mean that's the thing. It's who knows? Who knows what the power of music is? But like I said, we have 10% use of our brain. We've got no idea what's going on in there. And and I've had it myself where I've written songs in the past that I've forgotten about. And then they'll pop back into my head right when they're pertinent to that point in life. So, yeah, it's a funny old thing, isn't it?
It is, it is. And the other thing I wanted to make sure that I put out there tonight was... songwriters don't write songs in order to have a number one.
No.
In the same way that painters don't make paintings... in order to become as famous as Michelangelo.
Sure.
They try to capture a moment. And I think when you're a passionate songwriter, that's really the extent of what you're trying to do. You're trying to capture a moment.
Yep.
And as best as you can, and you're hoping that it's relatable to anybody that hears it, or in the painter's point of view, anyone who sees it. So, and if you're feeling... if you're feeling as a songwriter that you're not getting anywhere,
yep.
Remember, you need to consult your future self and be open-minded to hearing what your future self would say to you about that.
Yeah.
There's a whole world of possibility that you can't see right now, but your future self knows.
Definitely. And I think to add on to the end of that, yeah, we're our own worst enemy. So, you know, get your music out there, guys. Get it out there on all the platforms. Play it. You know, if you're doing cover gigs, put your own music in there as well. And you'll
Absolutely.
You'll be surprised how warmly they get, you know, and if you're worried about it, you know, if you've got a bit of an issue, or maybe they won't like it, I don't know, I'm a bit scared, I'm a bit worried about putting it out there. For the first few times you do it, you don't even have to announce it. You just slide it into your set, and you get it out there, and you'll get a little bit more comfortable. And you know, the old self sabotage won't kick in as easily. But believe me, it's still there. And you know, I've been performing for a lot of years myself, and the self sabotage is still there. You know, so just be aware, guys. There's a lot of tricks inside and out, and. I think listening to with someone with the experience of Brian, like we've been talking for the last 2 weeks, is invaluable. So don't forget, if you want to live, re-listen to this, these two interviews and all the ones from before, then pop onto SoundCloud, Radio Galari, and you'll find everything there under the Beyond the Veil. You'll also find that, find me, I should say, on Facebook, Beyond the Veil. Usually the first one that pops up. So jump on there, give it a like, give it a review. And if you want to have your music heard, you want to have a chat, you want to discuss your music, your love, your life, feel free. I would absolutely love to hear from you either in studio or via the phone. But Brian, I can't thank you enough. Your eagerness to give us information that you have that is just absolute solid gold as a muso. I can't thank you enough. You know, people pay big dollars to hear these words, and you're happy to put your experience and knowledge out there for everybody to hear, and you know that really means a lot to us here.
James, thank you so much for the opportunity to appear on your show, and I certainly would relish the opportunity to come back another time. And to everybody out there that is listening, really what I've tried to impart here is the magic that's involved in the art of songwriting and poetry. And I hope that I've been able to stimulate a few endorphins in a few brains to realize that all of this comes from within and from outside as well. And when we merge it all together, it literally takes us into another realm, and magic happens, even though I'm an atheist scientific, give me evidence proof kind of guy.
And you know, I think it's great you can have the open mind to do that. Why not have unproven science in the way of feelings and spirituality as well as proven science? Let's bang it all together and make the world a better place, you know.
Yes, that's right. It's the artistic zone that only artists can really experience. What really fascinates me, James, is I wonder how people that are going through hard times who can't write a song, how the hell do they get through that?
Yeah.
I feel blessed in my ability to express myself in a healthy way that other people might benefit from, rather than, busting out or bottling it up or whatever. Like, I just want to encourage people, if you're feeling love, if you're feeling anger, if you're feeling hate, if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling whatever you're feeling,
yeah,
write it down.
That's right. And even if you're not a musician, you don't know how to play, write it down, get it out there.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
A lot of the best poetry comes from that type of writing. So and just another one for everyone out there too, if as we were talking before, guys, about arrangement and putting songs together, it was actually the first song we were discussing about that, having to build the song. A really good example of this is actually on, I believe it's Netflix at the moment, and it's the story, I can't remember the name of the actual show, but it's the story of how We Are the World was put together. And... you know, you're talking multiple musicians, extremely big names and whatnot. Give it a watch, because it's amazing how it's all done. And it'll confuse you to no end throughout the whole thing. What is he doing? What's going on? And then it all comes together. So, you know, just a little bit of a different way of putting a song together. It doesn't have to be from A to B, you know. You can sort of go A to Z to C to D to G, you know, and then in the end, bang, you've got it. It's perfect. So thank you. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, guys. And, we'll be catching up with you very soon, I hope, Brian. I really do. And whatever you got coming up, let me know. Keep me in the loop.
Good on you, James. And one last parting thought. Whenever you have the opportunity to co-write with someone else, do it.
Yes.
You'll make something that neither one of you could have come up with on your own.
Fantastic. Wise words from a wise man. So thank you, guys. This has been Beyond the Veil for another Sunday evening. I hope you've enjoyed it. And like I say, if you need to leave a review, we'd like to have a chat, get in contact with us either through Radio Galari, 99.7 FM, or through my Facebook page, Beyond the Veil. And we'll get back to you and we'll all have a chat and have a good time. All right. Take care, guys. All the best. And remember, rock out and love life.